Welcome once again to Cinemaholics, the major motion podcast, where we talk about the biggest and the best films coming to theaters and streaming on the internet. From the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm John Agroni. I'm the film editor for InBetweenDrafts.com, and he's beaming in live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's also a freelance film writer, and he's the Luigi to my Mario. It's Will Ashton.
Hey, John.
I'm joking, of course. You're not Luigi, you're Wario, as you always will be.
I'm decked out in my Mario attire. I have this mustache.
You are wearing a red shirt.
And I'm wearing my red shirt. I don't have a red hat.
You look at the actor who plays Mario, not in the movie, but the commercials or whatever. It's like Mario says don't do drugs, and he's all sweaty.
Yeah. Lou Albano or whatever.
I don't remember.
Lou Albano. Vega? Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah. Your priest, your rabbi,
Matt
Serafini.
Just call him Matt Sarah Wikipedia.
I'm a big fan of Mario. What can I say?
You go to hell before you die.
Speaking of which,
I forgot about that. Oh, jeez.
He's just a drive away from the Bay Area. He's in L.A. He's living his life. He's doing what he does. He's the former co-host of It Ain't Ogre Till It's Ogre. He's known by the public and has won awards, being considered as best friend. It's Matt Serafini.
Oh, that's the warmest intro I've heard all day.
You know what?
Thanks so much.
That would be kind of surprising if it wasn't. I'd be like, wow, you had a nice day. You had something better than that. No, in the first time you were ever on Cinemaholics, I was listening to this earlier, when you came on to talk about downsizing in Bright in 2017.
That was my first one.
Will called you his best friend. I was like, man, Will never says that about anybody, especially me. But like, even like later years, I just don't hear him call anybody his best friend. He's so discerning.
We're besties, man. We've been doing bits and podcasts for, the first movie I saw with Will was MacGruber, I think.
Oh, wow.
He took me to an early screening of MacGruber.
I saw that in the theater as well. That was a theatrical experience if there ever was one.
Does that sound right, Will?
Yeah, I think that's actually correct. Yeah.
That's actually correct.
Go, like, we go way back.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. 2011 was that movie? I don't remember.
Nine.
Really?
No, 2010.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. In between, but somewhere in the middle, wasn't it? Well, welcome back to Cinemaholics, Matt Serafini. We love having you on. And, I'm going to be straight up with you. Like, Matt, you're not usually on for the mainstream review episodes. Like, you've been on for bonuses. You've been on for crossovers.
I think Spider-Man. I come on for Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and Scooby-Doo stuff, I think.
Yeah.
He was on our Puss in Boots episode with Chris Sheridan. Oh,
that's
also
true.
But Chris was there too, you know, so it's a two-hander, kind of the Scooby-Doo thing too. I'll say this, Matt, we never have you on for like the serious art drama movies. I feel a little bad, you know, it's never like The Favorite or Parasite. It's like we got to bring on Matt. Would you ever want to come on and talk about like a serious highbrow cinephile movie? Or do you like the way things are?
I mean, I enjoy the dynamic that we've got. I have no issues or complaints, but... That said, I mean, if you wanted to have me on and talk about a serious genre movie, I went to film school. You know, I can bust out those opinions. I'm working on getting more confident and having my own opinions. So I would love the exercise.
I like the idea of like, you know, it's like I went to film school and like we bring Matt on, you know, for something else, you know, like we bring him on for how to blow up a pipeline and Matt has on like a newsie cap. Instead of like his usual, you know,
I'm like wearing the big pants, the director pants from the 30s.
Yeah, the beret,
smoking one of the cigarettes,
a pipe. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, geez.
Hello. Are we here to talk about cinema? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like we don't want to typecast you. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind being typed. I love animation, and I feel like that's a lot of what I talk about on here. So I'm good with that.
That's my next question, because I didn't even think to invite you on for Super Mario.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Mario fan. Should I have known this, as we've talked about it and I forgot?
It may have come up once or twice, but so you know me as the Spider-Man guy and the Muppets guy.
Yeah.
What you should know, my whole life I've had these phases of being obsessed with things, but they never go away. They just stack, kind of. And so Spider-Man was second grade. Mario was fourth grade. Hmm. I was full on obsessed. I used to watch the... People made fan animations on Newgrounds, and I would like that was how I would get my Mario fix, because I like didn't have a Super Nintendo or a GameCube, and I had a Super Nintendo when I was very young, and then my dad traded it for a PS2.
Wait, what about Nintendo 64? You skipped a generation.
I didn't get that one. We had the Super Nintendo during the 64 generation.
What about Game Boy, Game Boy Color? What are we talking
about? I did have my Advance SP. I had a Color first, but yeah, I had Game Boys and DSs. So that was it. It was between those and Newgrounds cartoons was how I was getting my Mario fix. And I've just always loved the character, loved the world, loved the art styles. So I was very much excited for this movie.
It makes sense. Like, I mean, if somebody came up to me in the street, it's like, Matt Serafini, Mario fan, I'd be like, yeah.
I mean, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I feel like anytime you have like a group at your house, or your parents' house, 8 out of 10 times we end up playing Mario.
Or Smash Brothers, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, big Nintendo fanboy for sure.
This might be the thing that Matt and I have most in common then, because Mario is like my life, but specifically Mario Kart, which, you know, I've been bugging Will about this. Mario Kart is like my favorite video game of all time. I play it competitively. I'm obsessed. I play it every day for like the last 6 years since Mario Kart 8 came out. Yeah.
So you play like, you're like one of the online players.
Yes, I've ranked, the highest I've ever ranked was like 23 or something in the world.
Wow.
I absolutely adore Mario Kart. And I like all the like special things of like everybody gets a blue shell. Like, mm-hmm. So in this movie, I saw the trailer, and I was like, there's Mario Kart in it. And I was like, how could they fail it? How could they mess this up? And anyway, I love Mario. Also love Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
We should go through our bona fides. The first Mario games, yeah, I remember playing. My brother is a bit older than me. He grew up more 80s. I was the 90s kid. He was the 80s kid.
Makes sense.
My brother's like a decade older. Okay. And so like I inherited like we didn't have the Nintendo, Famicom. We had the Super Nintendo because I think that got traded over. Actually, I don't even know if he had the original Nintendo because like we were pretty poor. But by the time like I was around, my parents were like making good money because like, I mean, I was in the picture. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means. But we had the Super Nintendo, and I remember Super Mario World. That was the business. Super Mario 3, though? Did you ever play the third one?
We had the Super Mario All-Stars for the Super Nintendo, which had the first three games in it.
That's what we had, yes.
I was I don't mean to interrupt you.
Please do, as much as you want.
Just that I have more fond memories with the Super Nintendo of watching my older sisters playing it because I was still a little bit young to like fully get past World 1 before my dad traded it for the PlayStation 2. But either way, though, I had fond memories, though, of watching the Super Mario Brothers 3 jumping on the colored blocks and whatnot.
Because I remember Super Mario World was the one I played the most.
Yes.
Because I had the best graphics and also Yoshi.
Yep.
What I remember loving about those games was like by the time I was playing them, the 64 was like about to come out. I think it was already out in Japan. And like it was the game that I could play. Like I was old enough that I could play and be good at it. But like the other games that my brother would play were way too hard for me. You know, like the PS1 games, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, Mario was my stepping stone. Like, that's how I got into the business. And, like, obviously, like, Will hates this conversation every which way. Yeah, I feel bad.
Will's very ostracized right now.
But Will, you love Mario Party.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's that, like, normally I would dismiss this as, like, nerd stuff or whatever. But, I mean, Mario Party 2 is the first video game I ever played. I remember vividly, I think I was in kindergarten when this came out, like the Nintendo 64 was being advertised and they were like, you can play this game. And it was Mario Party 2. And I, obviously my vocabulary at the time was limited, but I saw the word party and I knew that one. And I was like, Mario, and it's a sequel. So I'm like, this has to be even better than whatever the first one was. I have to not only get this game, but get the system that goes along with it so I can play this game. And it's the only game, or the only video game, I should say, that I feel like I have truly mastered because I have played it that many times over and over and over again. So, I mean, I've not really dived into the other Mario parties. I've certainly dived in other Mario games like Mario Kart and Super Mario Brothers, Super Smash Brothers, I mean. But yeah, I mean, I generally have a really fond relationship with Mario and the various games that go along with it. I think the characters are a lot of fun. I love the world of it. And yeah, it's one of like 3 to 5 video games that I genuinely adore. So I do have a soft spot for Mario, and I have at least some knowledge of it. And I will say, I mean, I also have a very vivid memory of the original Mario movie, the 93 one, the yeah. Super Mario Brothers movie.
Before we get to the Mario part or Mario movie, first one,
yeah.
I want to say, I remember the Mario Party, I think it was the first Mario Party, the commercial. Mm-hmm. Where the kid, I don't know if you remember this, Matt.
Oh, where he drinks the milk?
No. He's having a party in his house, like all his friends are over, and like the entire neighborhood, and I think the mayor and like the town is like outside his house, and is like, they want to get into the house to play Mario Party. It's like the big party, you got to go. And like they let the pizza delivery guy in. And I just remember that commercial for some weird reason. It's never left me, my heart. Also wanted to bring up, I wanted to establish, when it comes to Mario, Mario's very important as a character. Sure. If it's not for Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, really, like, the series in general, like, from the 80s to the 90s, it's kind of what made video games, like, established enough to be a serious medium. Because it was the way that Mario took, like, captivated Japan, the US, and Europe almost simultaneously, or, like, in this 1-2-3 that brought, like, these consoles to tons of people. It created an entire generation of gamers. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Mario is really what did that. If you look at the sales for especially Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario Brothers World, that, like, defines, like, the path. Like, video games would have died away probably because there were chip shortages. There were all these issues in the late 80s. There were things that were making it just not, like, people were getting sick of it. They were treating it like Cabbage Patch Kids. It was a fad. But Mario kept the party going. The Mario Party rolled on. And so we got to give some respect to the plumbers, the boys, the brothers, the brothers.
Hooked on the plumbers.
I'm hooked.
Oh, that was beautiful, John.
I almost cried, like, while I was saying all that.
It was, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I also just feel I need to shout out Mario 64 specifically. It's like one of the most important games ever because it, like, established what 3D platforming could be.
Right, because, like, Legend of Zelda obviously pushed that even further. Mm-hmm. Like, it made nerdy people even nerdier. But, like, Mario 64, that got, again, it brought the adults in. That was the key, you know?
Yep.
We should say our favorite Mario games. We already heard Will's Mario Party 2. And mine was Mario Kart. Matt, did you have a favorite?
Yeah, mine is Super Mario World.
Oh, man. That's a really good choice. That's probably, that's top five easy.
Can I, if we're really leaning into the nerdiness of all of this, can I tell you, like, my dream game for Nintendo to make?
Please.
I want them to make, like, a remaster of Super Mario World, where it's, like, the same level, same physics and everything, but the art style is that cartoon style that they use for, like, their advertisements. And you know what I'm talking about?
I see. Kind of like Dragon Quest, where you're playing, like, the cartoon.
I'm not familiar with Dragon Quest, but it's not like Cuphead.
Like, it wouldn't be, like Cuphead. It wouldn't be like new Super Mario Brothers for the DS. No,
it wouldn't be 3D.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's Dragon Quest. It's like you're playing the show.
A cartoon, yeah.
Hey, Cinemaholics friends and listeners. So sorry to interrupt, but Dragon Quest is incorrect. That's not what I was thinking of. What I was really thinking of was Dragon's Lair. Dragon's Lair, not Dragon Quest. Dragon's Quest, completely different. Sorry for the mistake. And so now you don't have to leave a comment. Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
But it's a side platformer.
That would be my dream for them to, like, do a new 2D platformer in that style.
My dream would be a super mega Mario game that's kind of like this movie where you have, like, the 2D platforming and you have a 3D part of the game and you have Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. And you know what? I'm feeling generous. Let's throw in Dr. Mario. What's he been up to?
They did the music in this movie.
I mean, I think that would be really cool. It's just like, that's a real Mario Party. That could get Will involved.
Yeah, I like that. I would
give him a controller.
Yeah. I would pay $100 for that game. Nintendo, are you listening?
It's called Super Mario Universe.
Super Mario Galaxy,
we never did Universe.
It has all the sports games contained.
My dream is to bring back Mario Party 2.
And, you can play Mario Party. I think you can play Mario Party
Superstars.
2. Yeah.
Oh? It's basically a remaster of it.
It's on the Switch.
Yeah, we should play it next time I see you.
I mean, I don't want like a remaster. It's already perfect as it is. I just want the ability to play it outside of the 64.
I think you can do that on the, isn't it on NSO? Yeah.
It's not going to be like, it's not going to be that different. Trust me.
Will. I don't know don't all this video me. Game stuff.
I'll help you, Will. I'll all help right. you.
All anyway. Right. So now we can talk about the movie and the legacy of the movies.
Sure.
Yes.
I think we should. So this is the second attempt at capitalizing on Mario Fever. I mean, Mario, probably the most iconic video game character of all time, most likely. He's one of the most iconic cartoons of all time. There was a time in the 80s. Yeah, there was a time where he beat Mickey back in like, what, 89, 88? I think like at the peak of like Mario Brothers 3, I want to say. And they made a movie in 1993 with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. Great movie. Critics loved it. Fans loved it. It's actually kind of surprising it never got a sequel. Are you guys okay? You're kind of confused.
Well, I was going to say, well, before you get to that, apparently I just learned this today. That there's another animated Mario movie that was like from 86. I
think it was only in Japan.
Yeah, it's an anime.
Yeah, I didn't know about this.
I've never seen it.
Me either.
It's on YouTube.
I don't know if you can watch it. It might be out there somewhere.
It's on YouTube.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, there were a couple of Saturday morning cartoons, and this is far from the first time somebody's taken Mario and Luigi and said, tell me the story. What are those guys doing?
There have been games.
You know, people have been saying to this new movie, they're just like, you can't just say the plot is thin. Like, it's Mario. And I'm like, girl, yeah. Mario and Luigi, partners in time. Martin Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story. Nintendo don't miss when it comes
to
story.
Super Paper Mario.
The Paper Mario games like started that, right? Because they did the RPG thing first.
Well, Super Mario RPG for the SNES, which I have never played. 7 Golden Stars or whatever.
Was it the same format as Paper Mario, though?
It wasn't exactly the same, but it was an RPG that had more story to it.
Going all the way back to SNES, the Super Famicom, and you're gonna look at me. And you're going to look me up and down, shake your head and say, why are you complaining about the story? But I'm getting ahead of myself. Super Mario Brothers came out in 1993.
Sure.
It was directed by Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton. Now, I was being a little silly before. Obviously, nobody likes this movie. If they do, they're being ironic. You guys have both seen it, I assume. I remember watching it as a kid.
Matt, you've seen it? I thought you had seen it, Matt.
Confounding.
No, I saw it when I was younger, like around that Mario phase. But I do remember watching it. I wanted to rewatch it before this movie, but I didn't end up having a chance to.
It's hard to find online.
I rewatched it before this review.
You have the DVD VHS or?
I found it.
Because
I couldn't watch it legally.
I mean, it's not your fault. It's literally like not
preservation
available.
Of media.
So if you don't have, right. Yeah.
But I think I do have the DVD. It's at my parents' place. I own this on DVD, and I remember vividly.
You can buy DVD copies now, I believe.
Yeah. I don't remember if it's the first movie I disliked, but it's the first movie I can vividly remember feeling disappointment about, in the sense that, like, I saw the, I mean, obviously I was really into Mario Party 2. I was like, well, you know, if only there was a way you could make a Mario movie, that would be, you know, divine. Little did I know, the year I'm born, Bronze's Earth, there's also a Mario movie that was made. And I'm like, golly gee, this is going to be an incredible film.
I'm looking at the poster right now, and the quote from the critic is, it's a blast, by the Washington Post.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was Joe Morgenstern who said that.
I mean, I don't think I had any issue with Bob Hoskins or John Leguizamo, even though I was very confused about Luigi not having a mustache. But I remember as a kid being like, that's not Bowser. That's not Yoshi. What is this? This isn't the world. It's like some weird like cult thing. And I just remember thinking it looked ugly and like, I don't know. It's still a very strange film. Like that's rewatching a film. I'm surprised I'm taken aback by how weird it is. It's a very odd film and very much of its time. In the sense that it's like very much aping off of the success of Batman and the rising cult following of Blade Runner.
I definitely love the idea, by the way, of like Luigi ending up with the princess. Kind of fits.
Well, Daisy, not Peach.
The princess. I didn't say Peach.
I know.
There's Princess Daisy.
But it's a common misconception.
Super Mario Brothers Land for the Game Boy. Let's go.
Right. But yeah, there's no Daisy in this movie, by the way.
They're saving her. They're going to.
Yeah, they left a lot out.
You'd be surprised too. It's like watching this movie. It's like, what? How could they not have kept done everything, huh? But that just tells you the legacy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say, watching as an adult, it's obviously not good. It's basically incomprehensible. Everyone involved seems to have sort of contempt for not only the movie they're making, but potentially the property that they're basing upon. But there is something to be admired about the fact that, like, it is a movie that was made during that, like, pre-CG bubble. Like, there is some CG in the film, but most effects are practical. A lot of, like, you know, practical makeup and stuff. So it is very much a film that, like, simply could only be made in that time, that place. Yeah.
It's got such a weird vibe.
It's like a very weird vibe.
Creepy. It's like,
yeah.
Because you could tell that they were like, well, we can't just like make this for kids. Like, this has to be like a big movie.
Yeah. It's weirdly very cynical. And it has like kind of like a like an edge, because like they figure like because it's based in New York, everyone has to be like loud and crass and speak with like a thick Brooklyn accent and all this stuff. And I do think, you know, Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper are pretty incredible in their performances, just hamming it up and really seeming to have fun. But yeah, I mean, a good movie that does not make.
Yeah. And I think it's worth saying that for Rocky Morton, she never made another movie again. And the other director, Annabelle Jankel, only made two. And you probably have never heard of either. But it's people have heard of Tell It to the Bees.
It's a husband and wife duo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I read something interesting about it today, not to continue talking about the crappy old movie, but apparently they originally had a scene in it that got cut where at the end of the movie,
the Nintendo,
they were like, their story has been spread and they get a call from these guys who are making a video game. And the idea is that the video game is based on their experience, but it was lost in translation.
Yeah.
And that's why it is so different. And I guess that would have explained why it was so weird.
Right.
Yeah. Especially because like, I remember mostly watching it like on TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't see it in the theater. I was too young. I was like mm-hmm. 2 years old when it came out. But you know what? That was the past, right? And it's amazing to me that the movie was so bad.
They Nintendo, held on to that license.
Hey, look, Nintendo never made another movie until now. And
for
even
30 years.
For 30 years, and they hedged their bets on Illumination.
I mean, I will say, and it seemed like Nintendo had no real creative involvement with the first movie, right? Like, they were just kind of like...
That is correct. They had nothing.
I'm sure they can't mess it up. It's Mario. How are they going to screw this up? And they watch the movie and it's like, you know, they mimic their own character by saying, "Mamma mia, what have you done?"
And, you know, so Shigeru Miyamoto, who directed most of the early Mario games, he's the visionary behind the worlds. He was behind like hiring the right teams, the artists, and, you know, obviously group collaborations. But Miyamoto was really like the heart and soul of those games. And
he's the guy.
It's Miyamoto. He put Nintendo power on the map, Nintendo especially. And I think like when you look into like how those games were made and how busy they were, I kind of get why they didn't have a lot of involvement in the movie, because they were so busy. Like, making these games like took so much of their lives. And I can imagine why like this American, you know, kind of cash grab sort of thing was like kind of low on the priority list.
Also, I mean, I feel like video game movies at the time aren't really like what they are now, even though it's still baby steps for the video game adaptation. I think
TV shows have kind of gotten there.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, this is like the first movie was like one of the first ones, and so like there was like no real like
I think it is the first video game adaptation. No.
I feel like there are, I don't know, I can't remember, so I'm not gonna say you're wrong or right, because I can't say with certainty, but I mean, there was no real blueprint when that came out, and that's, I think, partly why the movie is the way it is. But yeah, I mean, I think now, like, the iconography,
it's the first
game,
live action adaptation. Right. There were animated movies, but yeah.
Right. I mean, the iconography of Mario, I feel like, not only is there pressure in the sense of, like, they burnt the omelet the first time, you know, but it is kind of like they also, you know, want to make sure that because there are more fans, more expectations, now there are like generations of fans who are going to come into this, you know, with expectations, not only, you know, for the kids. And so I think they did kind of know that they had to, you know, be a little bit more protective, be a little bit more observant of what happened, and subsequently be a little bit safer, I'd say, as far as the choices that they made.
I mean, the Mario franchise kind of reminds me of Star Wars, where it's always been really popular. It had a moment when it was just like everywhere, you know, when we were very young. And it's always just like sustained that, because they've always just been coming out with game after game. I think it was probably at its lowest point culturally, like in the 2000s, because you had games like Super Mario Sunshine. It was getting more niche. It was getting a little bit more strained. I think like the big Nintendo stuff around that time was more around the Wii. And so like you had things like, you know, Twilight Princess and, you know, Wii Sports. Like, it just felt like it was a different time. Super Smash Brothers was probably like really their cash ticket around that time, because you had Melee in 2001, you had Brawl, which people say is the best one. And then they brought back Metroid for Metroid Prime. But like, yeah, I mean, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy, like they kind of just went through this period where they're like, yeah, we're still doing Mario games, you know, and you could do this one, that one. Here's 12 more that kind of do the Mario thing. And then I think when the Switch came out, like, it's like they turned a switch, because like Mario Odyssey, which I don't love Mario Odyssey, but I, you know, great Mario game, you know, it's, I would say like there hasn't been like an amazing Mario game since Mario 64. I got a lot of heat for this in the In-Between Drafts Discord server, where our community of readers and writers hang out, and you can join it too. But I got flack for this, Matt. What for you though is the last amazing Mario game? I'm talking about not like Smash Brothers or anything like that, but like,
right,
you know,
Mario series.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm gonna have to disagree with you a little. I think Odyssey is the bee's knees.
Granted, I'm happy to hear that. I know people really like that. I felt like it was too short.
That is the one complaint I would have, is there's only like six world. Like, I wish they, I understand that they probably wanted it to be a near launch title with the Switch, but I wish they would have taken an extra year and like doubled the length of that thing. Cause, oh man, I would have played it all.
I enjoyed it a lot. And when it ended, I was kind of like, that's it. Cause like, I remember, I wanted that feeling I had playing Super Mario World, where it was like, it just did not end. Like, there was just so much. There were secret levels. And
did you do the post game stuff for Odyssey? Like, did you 100% it?
I got close to 100%.
Because I thought the final challenge for that is really fun, but
I'll have to re-explore that. Maybe I should replay the game, Matt, and make sure I have the right opinion.
I don't know. Mario games are great for replaying, I think.
I agree. And before Will falls asleep, I think, like I was saying before, it's kind of like Star Wars, where this feels like a Force Awakens moment. I mean, we can just kind of get into it. So Nintendo and Illumination and Universal have kind of all teamed up to make this happen. I actually think, like, when I first heard about this, I was like, yeah, makes sense. The people who made Minions, Secret Life of Pets. I mean, if you're going to give Mario to a studio, Illumination is kind of where you probably want to go with this, because I don't like any Illumination movies very much at all. In fact, do I like any of them? The first Despicable Me?
Well, you like that Grinch movie.
I like Grinch okay. Like, that's like a C+, B-. I don't think I like really like any Illumination films. Like, first Despicable Me is like a B. I think that's the highest grade I'd give to any Illumination, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they've been content to make mostly kind of like B-, C+ movies. Like, the type of movies that, I don't know, with the exception of Lorax. Lorax is the only one I remember being genuinely mad watching. I don't know. As much as people like, you know, bemoan them and all that stuff, I think most of them are just serviceable fine. Like, they're very, you know, amusing in spurts and can be,
and
you know,
their animation is always really stellar, right, too.
And they seem to be the only studio that's really making like goofy Looney Tunes style, you know, comedies and stuff a lot of the time, especially with the Minions. So I don't know. I mean, I hate
the Minions a lot. Like, I hate those movies. I hate the first one. I thought was like a fine. It was like, okay. It's just some Minions, but
I do think they are the natural evolution from DreamWorks. And I think that their movies are very disposable, but I think they also generally kind of serve their purpose at the same time.
I think like, I really wanted to like Secret Life of Pets, really wanted to like the Sing movies. I actually thought Sing 2 was okay. That's that would probably be my second favorite after.
Oh, I vouched for the Sing movies. Yeah. Yeah.
The first one I could get into, but the Sing 2 I actually thought was like, you know, fun. And, you know, sure. Trolls, I like Trolls a little bit better though. If we're talking like animated movies that do covers that aren't very good.
Disagree.
Yeah, I know you disagree, Will, but
definitely disagree.
I like the Trolls movies. I mean, I don't really remember them much, but I enjoyed them.
They're not.
I don't like the first one. The second one, though, I think kind of holds up. I rewatched it, and I was like, you know what? I was like swirling the Bud Light that was in my can, and I was like, this is good.
A bunch of goofballs.
That's kind of fitting for Illumination. But yeah, when they first announced like Mario and Illumination, I was just like, yeah, perfect. Yeah, and put that stuff in. They're going to do the Universal, the theme park, the Mario theme park, which is funny because, Matt, I know you went the Super Mario World and Universal pretty recently, didn't you?
Haven't been there yet, unfortunately.
I thought you went. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
I must have been confusing you with somebody else named Matt Serafini.
I will be going in May. I kind of was waiting both. I have a friend who's going to be coming to visit that I'm going to go with. And also, I didn't want to go when it first opened because it seemed like it was probably going to be really crowded.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure it still probably will be, but hopefully a little bit less. I don't know.
We had a chance to go to the one in Osaka because we were like staying like really close to Universal over there. But Will's making fun of me. But I think we decided against it because we were like, we'll just go to the one in LA. It's probably just going to be the same deal. And turns out it kind of is. I was like watching YouTube videos and it's like, yeah, it's the same pretty much, more or less. Anyway, so Mario's getting a resurgence. It's getting its Force Awakens. Box office has been really good for this movie. And I think like the hype, we saw it coming, right? Like, you know, we were texting me and Will and a friend of the show, Mike, we were kind of like, man, like how many billions of dollars is this movie going to make? And here we are. It's already made. As we record this, we're recording this a little bit later after the movie's come out. So we can talk a little bit about the reception too. But it's made $427.9 million worldwide, which is terrific for less than a week. Budget of $100 million. And it really is like a Mario movie that is the complete antithesis to the live action 1993 movie. It's animated. It's way more playing it straight down the line of like what you would expect from a Mario adaptation. Extremely faithful to the source material in every way you can imagine, down to the story. I mean, the story is like Mario and Luigi go to the Mushroom Kingdom and, you know, try to, you know, stop Bowser and save the princess. And obviously there are lots of twists to that, but, you know, it's kind of taken from the games and it's merging a lot of the games together. You have like a scene that's straight out of Super Smash Brothers, which involves Donkey Kong. So you have other characters kind of coming in, which of course Donkey Kong is like part of the original Mario game. And Mario is part of the original Donkey Kong game, excuse me. And you have some characters from like newer games, and you have characters from older games, and like the movie is like crammed with Mario stuff. And so you have a whole Mario Kart sequence. That was the main thing that brought me into the theater. But what do we think of the actual movie? Start with you, Matt Serafini, our guest. What did you think of the Super Mario Brothers movie? That's what it's called, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Not to get ahead of myself or anything, but I gather based on the two of your Letterboxd reviews that I am probably the most favorable on this movie here.
What did we say on Letterboxd? I forgot.
I did rate it, huh? You gave it like 2 stars, I think, or something.
Know. I gave it 2.5.
I think I gave it a ringing endorsement.
Will actually, I have a particular bone to pick with his review.
I'm going to read it for the first time. I gave it a compliment.
Wow. Will Ashton said the Super Mario Brothers can quit their day jobs.
I gave it a compliment.
You did not give it a compliment. Will's review, if to save you from looking it up, because it doesn't deserve your click.
Oh boy.
Says best enjoyed with the sound off.
I stand by that.
Which I disagree with that completely, because if there's one thing I like about the movie, more than like as much as the visuals, it's the soundtrack. The soundtrack,
thank you,
like destroys. Thank you. It's so good.
That was exactly what my comment was. I said Koji Kondo. Is it Koji Kondo?
Yes.
And Tyler, I can't remember the name of the man who did the score, but they deserve.
Brian Tyler did the score of the movie based on Koji Kondo's like original. Like he wrote the soundtracks. I want to say like definitely all the way through Super Mario World. I forget if he did Mario 64 though.
He did. He's done like all of them, man.
Makes sense. I mean, the guy's a genius. I mean, like his process. Like one of my favorite videos on YouTube is like about him and how he came up with the reggae tone in Super Mario 3. It rules. It's so he's a genius.
Yeah. So what Will meant to say was best enjoyed without the dialogue.
Yes. No, I'll explain my review later. It's not a criticism of the soundtrack, though. I have no real qualms with it, but I don't want to speak before you give your actual review.
Fair enough. I really enjoyed this movie. I found it to be deeply flawed and definitely like undercooked in terms of the, you know, story and the characters. They were all very, it definitely continues the theme. And John, I wonder if you'll agree with this, that Nintendo for the past several years has really been playing it safe. And I think that this just continues that. As you said it earlier, it's very straight down the line Mario movie. It's got the characters, you know, the visuals, you know, and they're doing the Mario thing and it's the movie. But that said, this was also the movie that I have been wanting to see since I was in fourth grade watching Mario cartoons on Newgrounds. My inner child was absolutely thrilled. I spent most of the movie with a grin on my face. As we said, the score is really good. And every time there was like a little lick from the Super Mario World theme, which is my ringtone, I should add, or Luigi's cell phone ringtone, little things like that. Like there were so many little details that just tickled me that I overall very much enjoyed it, though recognize it to be a pretty flawed film.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad what you mentioned there in terms of like, how it's been in Nintendo's been in like a safe period, and I think that is indicative of this movie, because like I think the thing that I like the most about Mario, I've liked the most about the Mario games, was like the spirit of creativity in those original games, like through 64 for me at least, and just like, you know, like seeing things that you wouldn't expect, the surprise and everything like that. And so like for me, if I don't have that in the movie, that's what I felt like I was missing. Like my main criticism has been that I just really don't think the story is that interesting. Like, and people have been like, Mario. It's the stories are never like, what do you care? And I'm like,
that's
excuse
a perfectly
me.
Valid criticism.
Like, look at the Lego movie. Like the Lego movie had nothing to borrow from in terms of a story, way less than Mario. And I think some people look at that criticism and they're like, oh, are you trying to say that it needed to be weird and it needed to sort of like turn off, you know, fans of the games or anything? I'm like, no, you can do it like Lego. Lego found a way to make a story about a toy not feel like a commercial, even though it kind of just is. And this just felt like a commercial for things I already buy. So I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm here. I'll watch commercials. I like watching commercials, but I'm not going to say your movie's great, you know, except for the things that I think are great, which are like one or two things. But Will Ashton, you're, you know, of all of us, you're the least Mario inclined. You were the one, the Nintendo, they had a picture of you and they're like,
I mean,
this guy, how do we make him happy?
I don't know. I mean, I guess compared to you two, yes, but I feel like I'm still more of a fan than other folks, based on my history with Mario Party 2 and elsewhere. But I mean, my review has already kind of started. But I mean, I'll say, I don't know what I was trying to get at with that Letterboxd review. And this is going to sound, I think, harsher than I intend, but it comes with sincerity. I think it's the movie that is going to be best utilized to sell 4K HD TVs at Best Buy. Like, it's the type of film that I think if you watch it in the background, or if you're using it to see how great the animation is and getting into this world and being like, this is what animation can do, or like, this is what video game adaptations can be. And, you know, like, this is how great this TV is going to look in your living room. I think that's fine. I think if you actually pay attention to the story, though, it just gets kind of dull and meandering. And I don't mean dull in the sense like it's boring. It's not. It's so frenetic and fast-paced as Illumination movies are, that, you know, it's not like, you know, one can't really get bored by it. But I just feel like it sort of has the opposite problems that the original movie had, and that, like, that movie is just so brazenly weird and so unfaithful to the game and stuff like that. So clearly Nintendo wasn't having any direct involvement with it, that it feels like it kind of got off the rails from the get-go. And certainly, from what I can tell, like the original screenplay was a lot more faithful to that. I think it was the guys that wrote Bill and Ted, so I'd be curious to read or at least hear what they had in mind for the original idea for that film. In this movie, I feel like the problem is just that Nintendo is so cautious, so scared to take any risks that they're controlling within an inch of its life. And that's not to say they do a bad job. It just kind of feels very sort of fine. Like, it's just an okay movie in my view. But it doesn't really advance past what it could do. And obviously, I think, you know, Matt and I have gone, you know, over a decade talking about, like, why aren't they just going to make an animated Mario movie? It's, like, perfect sense, not only from a storytelling standpoint, but from a business sense. And I think they are doing that here, but it just also kind of feels like they're not really allowing themselves to take any creative liberties with the property. They just want to kind of service the fans as broadly as possible, which is fine. Obviously, it's working because billions of people are going to see this movie and probably really enjoy it, which I don't want to take away from. But I also kind of feel like we're not really getting the best Mario movie we can, but at the same time, we're certainly not getting the worst one either.
I do want to be a little bit more specific too, because so for me, this movie kind of starts really strong. It has a great cold open with Bowser, like cold open, and the penguins. Mm. And you're, you know, right away, you're just like, okay, this is going to be a fantasy adventure. I'm hooked, you know? Jack Black voices Bowser. Yeah. I think it's the best vocal performance of the movie. I just think he nails it. And Bowser, probably the best character in the movie, the character who feels the most interesting to me. And then we go to like the present day. And we have this whole thing where, like, Mario and Luigi are, like, actual Brooklyn Italian plumbers, and they're trying to do this business. It starts with, like, a commercial. And I'm like, this is great. Like, this is exactly what I want from a Mario movie. Like, actually, sure. It's, like, in Brooklyn. Mario kind of has, like, a little character arc popping up. He's afraid of failing. But, like, they add the complexity of, like, he doesn't want to let his brother down. He doesn't want his brother to fail because of him. He's feeling, like, the shouldering of that responsibility. And like, this is good writing. Like, we're going to have him, like, feel that same, like, urgency with, like, the Mushroom Kingdom. And, you know, how is he going to adapt to the Mushroom Kingdom? You have this whole, like, 2D, like, you know, platforming thing where they got to get to the job or whatever. Sebastian Maniscalco voices this, like, really, like, jerk guy. And you're just like, this is great. I'm having fun. It's not hilarious or anything, but, like, it's Mario. I'm, you know, wahoo. Like, it's great. And then we go to the Mushroom Kingdom. And I think from that moment on, like the moment that Chris Pratt as Mario is talking to Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, who I didn't know Keegan-Michael King voiced Toad until I looked in the credits, because it's such an invisible vocal performance. No disrespect, but it's just like, you know, did you guys know that was Keegan-Michael Key? I didn't, like.
Yes. I did, and I think that's a compliment to him.
I just don't think it's a great vocal performance. I didn't think Toad was like a great. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
I wasn't crazy bad, but it is a performance. Like, you're acting like he just got a paycheck where he clearly gave a performance. But I feel like both Mario movies kind of screw up Toad in a way that I think this movie is a lot better about handling Toad than the 93 one.
I mean, I think everything about this movie is better than the 1993 one. I'll get that out of the way.
But Toad is,
I don't know if you agree with that,
probably my favorite Mario character. And I don't know, I just feel like he should be very simple and very cute, and I feel like this movie, I don't know. I wasn't in love with what they did, but I think they made deliberate choices, which are fine.
He's a little frantic in this movie. I like the part where he rolls up in, like, the big Mario Kart thing, like the big cart, the dog. I guess it's like a Donkey Kong thing, which I think was a brilliant touch to make, like, Donkey Kong Country, like, where the carts come from. That was really smart. Anyway, it's like, once we get into the Mushroom Kingdom, and then, you know, maybe I was a little harsh on Toad. I'm going to be harsher on Anya Taylor-Joy's Peach, because, like, the vocal performance, I just don't think really, like, that to me felt pretty, like, phoned in. I was
so hot,
like,
right now.
What?
It's just, like, so hot right now. Anya Taylor-Joy, make her Peach.
Yeah. And then we know she could do great, like, vocal stuff. Yeah. But
I think it's funny that you said phoned in, because I was literally thinking, like, I bet, like, while she was, like, in between takes on Furiosa, she's in her trailer just being like, all right, here's take one. Mario, you got to do it this way. All right, here's take two.
Mario, Bowser, you got to do it this way. Bowser is heading to our kingdom.
All right, I'm going to do one with a little bit more enthusiasm. Bowser is coming to the kingdom.
All right, there's a big world out there with lots of galaxies. Like, it's a very average performance.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just, it's it. I don't mind her character though. I like that they wrote some more urgency with her character, more agency too. Like she just feels like more, you know, they give her like kind of a backstory.
Yeah, I like the backstory stuff. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she gets in on the action, but you know, she's not like, you know, she's not doing like that. Like people were kind of complaining of like, this is girl boss stuff. And it's like, no, I mean, she's not like, you know, lording her authority over people. She's just like a nice person who like takes action, kicks butt. She's fun.
Yeah.
All that stuff is fine. But then for me, Mario becomes the least interesting character in the movie. I just think like the connection between like what he does in the plot, like it kind of switches. He's like, well, now Mario never gives up. He's persistent, you know? Also, here's a romance. And it's just, and then they separate him from Luigi, which boo. Like, I get like a little bit of separation, but Luigi does nothing in this movie. Like for what, 75%?
Justice for Luigi. Yeah.
Disgusting.
I appreciate what they were going for, and is like, oh, instead of having Mario rescue the princess, which is what you expect them to do, he has to rescue Luigi with the help of the princess until the end when he has to rescue them both. I guess, is that a spoiler? I don't know. But
are there spoilers for Super Mario Brothers movie?
I guess not.
I mean, yes. Well, you know what? A lot of people have been watching this. You've already given our general impressions. Let's just say from here on out, we can just say little details around the whole movie. So yeah. You haven't seen the movie. You've heard our takes. But yeah, let's get in a little bit more detail here, since I feel like most people listening are going to have watched it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think having Luigi be with Mario, bantering with him, it could have been a lot more fun. It could have given it a lot more character. Because that's, I think, one of my biggest complaints is that Mario gets to the world, and after that first scene, which we've been watching since October, when the teaser first came out of Mario bouncing off the mushrooms, landing and being like, what is this place? And then Toad, you know, do not touch that mushroom. We've all seen it. He, after that scene, doesn't seem very perplexed by anything else.
Right.
There's like a brief thing in the kingdom where he's like, oh, these bricks are floating here. But that's like it. And then he's like, okay, I'm good with this. This
he's
makes sense.
He's not like surprised or amazed by anything. He's just not an interesting character in general. All the other characters around him are still kind of interesting. Like Donkey Kong's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen does a decent job, I guess. Like he's doing the Seth Rogen thing. But like that's the thing. It's like with Mario, he just is reacting to things around him and usually not in an interesting way, instead of being the main character. And that's what I think a lot of people, at least what I mean when I say the plot and the story are really thin, because the story kind of falls on him. And I think the movie would have been a lot better. Like, okay, if you're going to separate Mario and Luigi, that's fine. You know, like do that for a big part of the movie. That works if the stuff you do with Luigi is interesting. He just sits around in a cage the whole time listening to a star be evil and sociopathic. And I was like, at first, the first time they do him in the prison thing, like they do the Luigi's Mansion kind of nod or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, Luigi has his own little story. Luigi's going to get captured by Bowser. And like, what's he going to do? And then they put him in jail. And I'm like, oh man, is he going to like lead a revolution to get out of the jail? Luigi's going to have his own adventure. No, he does nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was upset.
As someone who usually picks Luigi in Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, I'm with you. Justice for Luigi. He deserved more.
I picked Donkey Kong in Mario Kart. Donkey Kong's my guy. And in Mario, like Super Smash Brothers, who do I pick? It ranges. I go all over the place. Usually Young Link. But yeah, Will, I know you wanted to mention who you pick for these characters in these games you play.
Sure. I mean, well, for Mario Party 2, I usually pick Mario. But if I can pick the choice of Toad, I usually pick Toad. But I will say...
The movie, I think you were going to...
Yeah, I mean, I think that also kind of underservices the emotional arc or the intended emotional arc of the film, in that like it trying to like act like, you know, like there is any sense of peril as far as their relationship. But I never really bought the sense of like, you know, their brotherhood isn't going to be like damaged. Like even if, you know, Luigi, I mean, there's no, you know, sense of stakes as far as like Luigi going to die.
Exactly. Well, there's no sense of stakes even with like their relationship. I think you just said like,
well, that's what
falling
I'm trying to
apart
say. Like,
or yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like from the get go, like they're very clearly loving and supporting, which is fine. But like also there's emotional arc where they're meant to be like, now we're back together and we're going to mend our bond and make it work. But it's like, that was never, you know, at risk, it seems like, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So it just, it's kind of an odd touch to try and make that the emotional arc. It just kind of like, oh, it's a movie. We need that for emotionality so people can connect with the story.
It's just, it's bad screenwriting because like you're missing that moment where like Luigi or Mario have a misunderstanding or they're mad at each other. There's some kind of conflict because like from the moment that Mario is like showing any kind of vulnerability about, you know, the stress and anxiety he feels about, you know, bringing Luigi down with him, Luigi's like, Mario, Charlie Day also voices Luigi. I think he does a decent job, but he's just like, Mario, I'm fine. Everything's cool, dude. We'll be fine. There's no sense of like that Luigi's concerned or all that worried. He's just sort of like, we're, you know, and that's where the playing it safe comes in because they don't want to like overdo the drama. They don't want to sort of have people dislike the characters, and that's just not having faith in the audience. And look, I get it. People are like, well, it's making tons of money. Everyone's going to watch this. Kids are going to love it. I'm like, yeah, but it's not going to be like, it's not really going to last the test of time. It's going to be one of those movies that like kids will grow up on and be like, I love it or whatever. And then they'll rewatch it when they're an adult and be like, yeah, you know, it's whatever. Fine.
Well, but what? Oh, sorry. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, for one, Luigi wasn't worried because he read the script. That was a joke I was going to do earlier. Nice. But no, I mean, I think it does seem like adults are really responding to the film. I don't know if I fully believe
it's distracting their kids for 2 hours. Of course they are.
I don't know if I really believe this narrative where people are like, the critics are wrong. Every audience loves this or whatever. It's like, whatever. I mean, but I do think like by being as broadly appealing as possible, I do think they are scratching that itch. Like you were alluding to it earlier with the Force Awakens thing. It's sort of like Force Awakens if we never got a Star Wars movie before, or like a good, if we only, the only Star Wars movie we got was Attack of the Clones. And it's like, oh wow. Like, you know, now we got like an actual movie and stuff. And it's like what people envision in their head, like Matt was saying earlier. So, I mean, I think there is some genuine, you know, relief and joy to be found in that. I don't think it's just going to be like,
I just think it's going to fade.
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I mean, we're certainly more down on it than Matt, but I think I'll let Matt speak for himself here as well. But I mean, I just think it is, I think, you know, I Nintendo, even though I think they made too many safe choices for its own good, I think they are also listening to the fans and actually, you know, trying to make a movie that the fans have wanted for so long. I mean, I think that's why they play it so safe here, but I can also understand that logic as well.
And that leads actually right into what I was going to say before, which is that what I'm hoping now happens is that because this movie is doing so well and making so much money, that we're likely to get more of this franchise in theaters. So I'm hoping that in the next movie, whatever that may be, they are a little less safe and more willing
to toss.
Yeah,
because it's one of the big bucks.
Yes, yeah. that's what I mean. It's they either do The Last Jedi or they do Rise of Skywalker.
But I do think that they, to your point, Matt, they'll look at the, you know, the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, which we won't reveal yet because we haven't played the Rotten Tomatoes game. But a little hint, I guess, you know, they'll probably look at the critic score and be like, this movie could have been even bigger. Like if this movie was like, I'll help you out, Will, if it had been in the 90% for Rotten Tomatoes, I would probably would have done even better. Because I do think there are a lot of people who are like, eh, you know, like, I don't got to rush out and see it. Apparently it's like, okay. And I think that like the word of mouth probably isn't that strong. I think like it is. It might be a bit front loaded of like all the people who want to come out and see it, you know, and I'm not saying I think it's going to still make a ton, but I'm just saying that like it might just not have that juice to really like bring it up to like, you know, people going to see it a third, fourth, fifth time.
It's hard to say. I do think this movie is kind of critic proof. Like, I think people are going to see this movie no matter what. And I think there is something to be said about, like, this is the first actual kids movie we got in 2023, not counting, like, Puss in Boots, you know, from last year. Like, you know, I think, you know, families are kind of starving to see a movie in theaters together. I think that's scratching this itch. Obviously, like we said before, I think it's not just families who are going to see this thing. It's generations that want to see it. Like millennials want to see it. Alpha, you know, obviously the kids want to see it, but like also like Zoomers, Gen X for sure want to see this movie. I think it's not limited in that respect. Now, obviously, would they love if the movie got, you know, a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and, you know, had the word of buzz or the word of mouth that, you know, something like Dungeons & Dragons is getting right now? Sure. But I think they're also, you know, I don't think it's going to be hurt in the long run because of that. They're still going to make $1 billion or more at this point.
That's the thing. It's like we are talking about Illumination. And have Illumination sequels really, like, with the exception of Sing 2, I haven't been impressed by any of them, personally. But at the same time, they have seen, like, when they do play it safe with Despicable Me 2, with Minions, Rise of Gru, whatever it is, like, these movies still make, like, $1 billion or whatever. And so, like, that's why I'm a little bit more skeptical that they're gonna, like, kind of learn the right lessons, I guess. But I mean, I would love that, Matt. Like,
that's where I hope Nintendo steps in, maybe, and is like, we need to do Yoshi now. I mean, we said spoilers. They kind of tee up Yoshi at the end of this one.
Yeah, I'm more interested. Like, okay, fine, Yoshi, but like, give me Wario. Wario and Waluigi as the villains.
That's yeah. Well, because where do you, because they're not going to do Wart. As much as I would love to see Wart hit the big screen, my main man Wart.
Well, they could do Wario and Waluigi and like the Koopa gang, you know, they could have like Lemmy, Morton. Yeah. So and like
Koopa kids, Bowser Jr.
Daisy.
Do a whole thing with that. And they try to like save Bowser. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think without a shadow of a doubt that they have to have Dan DeVito as Wario. I don't know who else they can cast that in that role.
Kind of be brilliant. Yeah. Pedro Pascal as Waluigi.
Yeah, Chris Pratt wants Pedro Pascal to do it, or as you know, he said Wario.
Said Wario, but I say Waluigi.
Yeah,
I just think it's funny because Pedro Pascal kind of is an anti Chris Pratt. Like,
oh,
he is.
I don't know about that, but like, I have to say, I mean, before I forget, you know, for as much you know as been said about you know Chris Pratt, you know, playing Mario, I mean, certainly I'm not alone that I was also kind of baffled. I wasn't really digging what he was doing in the trailer. I think he's fine in this. Like, I don't really think he's like off or anything. Like, I mean, he's certainly not the worst voice performance of the movie. I mean, would I have preferred if they had actually done the Italian accent? Absolutely. But I think
You know, they have the whole thing.
The lampshade.
Yeah, so like early on when they do the commercial, it's like, oh, they're doing the accents, playing it up for that. They do a lot of things in the commercial. They have the capes, you know, like all those fun references. And I thought it was fine. Yeah, I was like, this is an accent. I don't think any of the vocal performances are terrible. I just think that, like, you know.
Yeah, when he got cast, I was not happy about it. But I remember saying, like, the one thing, though, is that Chris Pratt is a talented voice actor and he will bring a good performance to it, and I think he brings a perfectly solid performance, better than just talking through it. It feels like a performance.
Chris Pratt as Garfield, I'm still peeved about.
I'm very skeptical. Yeah, I'm very skeptical of that.
That man does not hate Mondays. He loves the Lord.
Well, I mean, if it was Sundays, I do appreciate, you know, they do. Like, when it comes to the Easter eggs, I've seen some people kind of criticize this and like, yeah, okay, it does feel a little bit like a checkbox. I am a little impressed with the way they were able to weave in so much lore, and it did always kind of feel like it had some, it did kind of fit in. And at the same time, like, I'm conflicted about it because I'd say 2/3 of like the eggs and the jokes and like what they're doing, I think they work. You know, they fit into the movie fine. My criticism isn't really with any of that stuff. It's more of just like what it all means and like where it all heads. But yeah, there were some times where I'm just like, okay, you didn't need to do that. It's like, you know, my favorite things were like the subtle eggs, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, there's, you know, Punch Out. It's called Punch Out Pizza or whatever. And it's like, you know, Donkey Kong Jr. That's fun. And, you know, I think it's cool that they had Cranky Kong in this. I don't know he was going to be in the movie. You know, like there, Diddy Kong gets like Fred a quick Armisen.
Yeah, Diddy, we got Diddy.
I was a little bummed that we only got Diddy for like 3 seconds, but maybe in the sequel.
I don't know if Donkey Kong will be in the sequel. Here's the thing. Donkey Kong's spinoff.
Yeah,
sure.
That's where I think it's really headed.
I think they even said as much right in the initial announcement. They're like,
yeah,
we're thinking universe. We're thinking spinoff for, you know, DK. We're thinking
Smash Bros. Movie.
Yeah,
the Smash Bros. Movie, and look, that will probably be a perfect movie, but I don't really care about anything unless we get The Legend of Zelda. The Legend of Zelda movie, come on. Like, yeah. After this movie doing so well.
Yeah, they have to. There's no way.
It's like having like millions, billions of dollars sitting right in front of you and just like.
I mean.
But I don't wanna. Like, come on.
I do wonder. I mean, I have to assume between this and like The Last of Us on HBO doing well, we're going to be seeing kind of a new age of video game adaptations if we're not there already. Certainly
Sonic the Hedgehog really paved
Sonic,
the way too.
I was about to say, yeah, Sonic as well. I am wondering though, like, you know, kind of similar to like the superhero thing where it's like, is everyone going to do as well as the other? I think not everyone's going to be Mario because Mario is only Mario. But I mean, I could certainly see Zelda doing well, but like, from there on, I don't know. Because, like, obviously, like, Mortal Kombat Metroid didn't do so. I mean, Metro,
F-Zero.
I don't think. Gonna, you could say these things. I don't think they're going to have the same appeal.
Kirby! Come on, Kirby!
I do love Kirby, so we could see.
Kirby's going to be the protagonist of the Smash Brothers movie. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is going to be that fresh-faced, you know, devil may care? Yeah. Kirby has already had a TV show that was very successful. And, yeah, I mean, like, come on. Kirby's right there. Kirby, Zelda, Samus Aran. I mean, Captain Falcon. I mean, really, like we're just walking through the Smash Brothers roster, the OG one at least, and I think that's a no brainer.
I mean, yeah, but also I kind of feel like again, I don't see a world where all of these do as well as the other. I think
Donkey Kong stands the best chance, just because Donkey Kong Country, one of the best selling games for the Super Nintendo. So like,
everybody
I think they're gonna
monkey.
Have an easy time with that, huh?
Everybody loves that monkey.
Yeah. I mean, you know, without Donkey Kong, we wouldn't have Mario.
That's right. And, you know, if there's I have a feeling that's why they're really saving, like, the Donkey Kong Jr., you know. There are a lot of Donkey Kong characters. Donkey Kong had a TV show, like a kind of a CG TV show back. I remember watching it back in the 90s. So they could do all kinds of things in the Nintendo universe. If anything, like, it makes me wonder if like the Illumination thing is always going to stick, or if it'll be like their own. I could see them having their own studio or something, because it could end up being such a big cinematic universe if it works out for them, that it would kind of outstretch Illumination at some point. But at the same time, maybe that's where Illumination pivots, because they've kind of driven the Minions franchise to the ground at this point, and like they already got like sequels out of like their best-selling movie. So yeah, maybe it becomes all Nintendo all the time. Who knows?
I think that's actually what bugged me about Toad in this movie, yeah. And all like the little Toads, that they were so clearly trying to do like, here are the new Minions.
We're adorable. Yeah. They made the right call with Luma. Luma is the blue star, which I don't know about you guys, in my theater, which admittedly it was film critics and everything, and we weren't allowed to bring guests, but no laughs at all. During the entire movie, there was a kid. So there was somebody who was able to bring a guest, I think, because he was like part of like the crew. Like, I think he worked. So he like brought his like family. But his kid was there, and his kid did not laugh at anything except for the star. The kid was all about that star. And I was like, I wanted to high five him. He was, every time that dumb star was just like, you all are going to die and I'm going to watch and laugh. And the kid lost his mind. And I was like, good on him.
I mean, I will say, I saw this on Easter, I saw it with my sisters, and then there were like three other people in the theater. I mean, so a limited audience, none of us really laughed at any of the jokes either. But yeah, I don't know, it wasn't like dead silence. Like, I think, you know, there are a couple of chuckles and stuff here. I do agree, though, the comedy didn't really do much for me.
If they had at least gotten the comedy right, like for me, it was a 6 out of 10 movie. And if they got the comedy, if like it was really funny, I would have forgiven a lot of the story issues. I would have been like, you know what, 6.5, 7 out of 10, like that. It would have made the experience a little bit more palatable, at least for me.
Matt,
I would say that yeah, it was just the for me, it coasted on the visuals and the nods and the like the those brought it up for me. Are we giving it number reviews or are we just
No, we don't do that anymore.
Okay, cool. But, I didn't think so.
I do know we've kind of come to the end of our conversation, and you know, I feel a little bit bad. I feel like Matt kind of came to this conversation, you know, hyped, and he's just like, man, this movie, I really enjoyed it. And I feel like we brought you
down.
The
thing is, no, that's the funny part, is that I like don't really disagree with any of your criticisms. Like everything that Will said in his like opening statement, I was like, yeah, I mean, I recognize it's not the best movie, but I really did get the sense that everybody who worked on this movie, or at least most of the people who worked on it, are big fans of the franchise.
You can tell, yeah.
And they put that heart into it, and that's what makes me hope that going forward we can get even more weird with it and more daring.
I didn't really get into this. Like, you can tell people just worked really hard on it. Mm-hmm. Like, the polish is there. Yes. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's a stunning animated movie. The action scenes are really fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little annoying in the sense that, like, it looks really cool, but it makes me want to play the game, though. And I'm just like, right. Yeah, you know, like, that's what's missing for me a little bit. But, like, at least when you're watching it, it's beautiful to see.
It's effective. I mean, it's a very effective commercial for the Nintendo products.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, I mean, I will say, I mean, yeah, since we were kind of down on it, I mean, we talked about them a little bit, but I will say, in addition to animation, which I agree with you, looks fantastic. And in many respects, like, it is kind of surreal to see a movie like this. And it's like, in the right moments, I'm like, man, this is like, you know, I wish this movie had come out when I was, you know, 8. Because I would have lost my mind seeing this in a movie theater. I weirdly feel like I got the Mario movie I wanted as an adult, I wanted when I was a kid. And the movie I got when I was a kid would be the one I was more receptive to as an adult. Taking risks, being weird, all that jazz, being just a wacky mess in that respect. But such is life. In any case, I do think we need to champion Jack Black's Bowser, which we mentioned a little bit, but like, he's just such a fun performance. I don't think they give Bowser a lot of funny things to do, which is disappointing, but
they give him funny set pieces. Like, he doesn't just sit around talking. They'll be like, oh, he's also playing the piano. He's also kind of like being a bit of a tyrant. You know, like, I think they do kind of add some fun flair so that it's the illumination thing. It's one thing they are good at is like, they're good at just avoiding scenes where all characters are doing are talking to each other, which I appreciate.
I mean, I will say, like, I don't know, for as much as we talked about the voice performances, like, most of them, whether they're fine or not, like, I generally am kind of like, okay, that's, you know, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, that's Charlie Day as Luigi, that's, I mean, admittedly, I knew the voice cast, you know, going into it, like, that's Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach, but, you know, when Bowser's on screen, I'm not really thinking like, oh, that's Jack Black as Bowser. Right. I'm watching like, this is Bowser, with the exception of his musical ballad, but obviously they did that because they had Jack Black.
You have Jack Black. What else are you going to do?
Right. But I think he, like, you know, is clearly so loving and relishing the part. And I think that's, you know, I'm happy for him. And I'm happy that he got to do this, have this opportunity.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Rules of the game. You guys are going to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score. I don't know if you already know the score ahead of time. You can let me know. But for the Super Mario Brothers movie, we have 223 reviews counted as of this recording. One of them's mine. And you know what I gave it. Gave it a rotten. I wasn't happy about it. Got a little bit of heat. But I want to know what you guys think the score is. We'll start with Matt because he's the guest. He gets to go first. Matt Serafini, what do you think?
I don't know it, but I did see it before. So I'm going to say I think it's like around a 57 or something like that.
Matt's guess is 57. What's Will going to guess?
I have been spoiled at certain points, but I haven't looked at it recently. So this is, I knew it was rotten. I don't know how rotten it's gotten or if it's gotten better at any point. I think it's 54.
Well, guess is 54. You know, he may be dressed like Mario. He's not on the same wavelength. He's not on Rainbow Road. That's for sure, because it is 57%. Spot on, Matt Serafini.
I won the Rotten Tomatoes game for the first time. This is exciting.
Well, hang on.
I believe it. We still have a few other.
Yeah.
Shoot.
You will don't get too eager. You won the first round, but you know.
That's more than I've ever done. So I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, the Mario Party isn't over. So we have the audience score, 10,000 plus verified ratings. That's one of the higher ones we've seen for the Rotten Tomatoes game in a while. What do you think? The sun will start with you, Mr. Will Ashton. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I know this is significantly higher than the critic score because I've seen a lot of people talking about how, you know, like there's a big disparity. Yeah, that's where I'm looking for disparity between the critics and the audience score, and people are trying to make think pieces about it. It's just, I think, because the people who really liked it are the ones that are going out and voting for it. But that's not to say people didn't like the film. I'm gonna say it's really front loaded this week, so 94%.
94 is Will Ashton's guess. What, Matt Serafini, say you?
89%.
Well, Will Ashton wins this round. He didn't get it spot on, but he's closest. It was 96%. Only a couple off. So yeah, Matt, you spoke a little too soon. But hey, you got a couple more chances. We have the cinema score.
So. I have been spoiling this one. So,
So Matt, so you have no competition.
Yeah.
That's two on my side.
Well, that's the thing. You got to get it spot on. What do you think, Matt Serafini?
I have to get it spot on. Okay.
Well,
that seems like a
tall order.
It's a tall order. Maybe like Price is Right rules, where if I go over it, you have to penalize me. But if I'm under, I'm okay.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not
going to
just say like an F.
But, if like, you get the right letter, I mean, I won't. I think that's
if
fine.
I get the right letter. I'm not gonna
go with that. I feel like
now. Remind me, what's the audience like? Who are the people making this call?
There's a group in Las Vegas.
Yeah, some randos in Las Vegas.
I like to call them the crew.
Okay. You
know? I like to think about them like when I think of Cinema Score, like they're the ones who walk in the theater together.
The MPAA where it's like the same group, right? It's just random people.
It's like,
but that's why they do it in Las Vegas because
you get the most random people. I'm gonna say B.
That's way too far away. Matt, yeah. It's an
what
A.
Is it? Wait, really? It's an A?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 96% audience rating. That kind of tracks.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not always in line, but you know. Yeah, 94% positive score. Sorry, Matt, but we have more. This could be your moment.
Maybe.
So on Letterboxd.com, 200,000 people have logged this movie so far. It's got a lot of hearts, 71,000 hearts. That's a lot more than you usually see.
One of those is mine.
Average rating, what is your guess? Will Ashton, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say 2.8.
Well, guess is 2.8. Matt Serafini, your turn.
I feel like based on my understanding of the users of Letterboxd, I'm going to say 3, like right down the middle.
You're both pretty far away. But shit. Matt is closer. Matt's a bunch closer. 3.5.
Okay. That's not that far. 0.5.
I mean, in Letterboxd. I would say...
That's one off.
You would have beaten me, Matt. I wouldn't have guessed 3.5, personally.
You could,
I wouldn't have.
Yeah, you could get like a 3.1, a 3.2, a 3.3, 3.4. So it's not like 3 to 3.5.
Yeah. No, I know that, but I, in terms of, never mind, it's okay.
Fair. Yeah, I'm looking at friends of the show who logged it, and you know, it's all over the place. You know, I see, you know, a friend of the show, Adam Sasek, gave it 2.5 stars, and you know, Robert Yanis, he didn't rate it, but he gave it a heart. You know what that means? Ryan Oliver, we know Ryan, we love Ryan. He gave it 1.5. He said, forget it, don't go. But then, you know, Matt Donato said 3 stars. Let's do it. Aaron Dicer said 2.5. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. But that's the thing. You heard our review. You heard what we had to say. Most of you listening, you already watched the movie if you've gotten this far anyway, because we went into spoiler stuff. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Thank you, Matt, for coming on to talk Mario. It's just nice to run into another plumber, you know?
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Love having you on. We'll be back next week. What are we talking about next week, Will Ashton? Renfield?
Yeah, I think that is correct.
Yeah. I hope, Will, you get a chance to watch How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
I hope so, too.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to talk about it, but I just want you to watch the movie. I want you to have fun. Oh,
hey, Matt, got the bug. I think it's really fun that they actually did that. You know, when I saw that at the theater, when I saw Air.
Is it like a popcorn thing?
Yeah.
No, this is the Lego set.
Okay, so Matt has this like so from of it's course the games block. The question block, and it's like it's Lego sized.
Yeah,
it's got like lands and stuff. That is elaborate.
Yeah, did you make that all yourself, Matt?
Oh no, this is an official set. I bought this.
Ah,
that's probably the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Have you not seen this one, John? I feel like this would have crossed your path.
I'm not much into Lego, so
fair enough.
Yeah, I usually ignore Lego stuff. We also go ahead.
I was going to say, they also have like the popcorn bins with the question mark boxes. Yes. I think that's really cool.
There's also Suzume, which is coming out in theaters and more places. And I don't know if we're going to talk about that one either, but we might have a little bit of a crossover thing coming. So that's what's on deck next for Cinemaholics. And until then, from the internet, California, I am John Negroni.
From the internet, Pennsylvania, I am a Will Ashton.
And from the internet, California, it's-a me, Matt.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yippee!
Let's go.
What's the one he does where he's kind of like,
oh,
there you go. That's good.